As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
What up? What's happening? So we take you around the DMV here on this Saturday afternoon. Number to call in, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. I realize I kind of did this out of order. You know who the hell it is. You know, the only rejoin music. The only guy that uses this rejoin music. Youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 340. Nats baseball on tap. Coming up at about 3:40, first pitch set for 4:10 in chilly, snowy Colorado. Yesterday's game got canceled. Got a doubleheader tomorrow for the Curly W's. We'll see, you know, how the cancellation yesterday impacts the pitching rotation. We are still expected to see Mackenzie Gore on the bump. I hear this afternoon, Charlie and Dave will get you warmed up, started at 3:40. It is a 4:10 first pitch, and as usual, you can hear all of Nationals baseball right here on 106.7 The Fan. You want to talk about an eventful weekend in the world of sports? Obviously, we just talked about it. Nats back in action, and real quickly before we move on, this has been, and I guess this is how every baseball season is, so maybe I'm not giving away state secrets when I say this, or all of you feel the same way. It feels like we've seen a different Nats team every two series to start this year. You saw the way that they looked at home against Philadelphia to start the season. Then they went on the road and got swept by Toronto. And then the last two series that they were at home, you take 2 out of 3 versus Arizona, and then you take 2 out of 3 versus the Dodgers. So you were feeling really good about yourself, I thought. Then comes the Miami series where you lose 2 out of 3. Then comes the Pirates series where you lose 3 out of 4. And I think that's the more disappointing series loss to me. I mean, you should have won both of those series against Pittsburgh and against Miami. I think what has happened with this group, and it's a very, very long season. We're like 12% of the way through. So there is, I would say it would be irresponsible to be making any, you know, outstanding declarations about this group knowing how early we are in this season. I think that is totally appropriate. But a couple things are true with this group. One, James Wood looks like he has the potential to become one of the best power hitters in all of baseball. K-Bear Ruiz continuing to be consistent at the plate. And then I will say this, for all of the struggles of the bullpen, and I don't want to talk about that too much because we already know kind of what it is with that bunch. For all of the shortcomings of the bullpen, I think you're getting some pretty good stuff from your starting pitching. I think Mitchell Parker off to a really good start, just a 1.85 ERA through 4 starts, brilliant. Right? We get to see Mackenzie Gore later this afternoon. He's off to a pretty good start. So I like what I've seen from your top 3 guys, right? Gore, Irvin is been a little bit inconsistent for Jake, but he's been off to a pretty decent start as well. And then Mitchell Parker, to me, has been kind of the story of the pitching staff in terms of the early portion of the season. He has continued to just get better and better and better, and I've been very impressed with him. But as we sit here right now with this group, all of the talk coming out of spring training about, you know, how this team believed internally, despite what others may have thought, the talk coming out of spring training was internally they thought they were ready to compete. Now, what does the word compete genuinely mean? I took it as, hey, we are going to be in the wild card race for the better part of the season. And I think with a young team like this, that whether they want to admit it or not, they are still, in my opinion at least, in the early stages of their rebuild, of their recalibration, word to Dan Quinn. But you get what I'm saying with this. So, yeah, look, not a good start. Not a good performance, I would say, the last two series against Miami and Pittsburgh. But all in all, you're 7-12. There have been some bright spots from your young pups. I think consistency is just a big thing with this group. And I think you can say that about all young teams across Major League Baseball. Consistency is the key here. That's what matters. And there have been bright spots, right? I mentioned K-Bear Ruiz. Love how he's bounced back from his really terrible 2024 campaign, building off of what was a strong spring training for him. Nathaniel Lowe, one of the prized, you know, acquisitions of this offseason, off to a really good start at the plate. Loving what we're seeing from him. Now, there are a couple of guys that you look at the batting average and you go, need a little bit more, right? Josh Bell, brought in here to provide instant offense for this group. Really struggling at the plate to start this year, right? It's been tough for this group. Luis Garcia, struggling at the plate right now. It's been an interesting start, I would say, for this group. But all in all, I still think there's plenty of reason to be optimistic. I still think there's plenty of reason to believe, yeah, you know, this team may be in the wild card running at some point during the season. But the big thing that I want to focus on here as we get into the meat of the schedule, how good do they have to be? How much do they have to show as a club for their general manager, for their GM, Mike Rizzo, to go all in? I don't want to say all in, but how good do the Nats have to be? How much promise will they have had to have shown by the trade deadline for Mike Rizzo to go out and acquire what this team desperately needs? And that is a reliable bullpen arm, or several reliable bullpen arms. That's the question for me. We'll talk about that in more detail as we roll throughout the show. As I mentioned, they are back in action here this afternoon after getting the game canceled due to snow. I'll be real with you. I haven't been doing this a super long time, but I've never heard of a baseball game getting snowed out. We've heard of rainouts. We've heard of lightning delays. But a snow out? Stunned. I would love to know what the weather is like in Colorado at the moment. I haven't checked it. I do know, and we'll talk about this in more detail as we roll throughout the show here, there is playoff basketball going on in Denver, Colorado tonight as well. Before I was, as I was getting ready for the show, listening to Adam and putting my rundown together, I'm in the studio here watching ESPN and Ramona Shelbourne doing her ESPN live hit out in Colorado, and they were teasing her about the, you know, wardrobe that she packed with. She said, "I'm a California girl. All I know is a big coat." It's snowing like hell right now in Colorado. So glad that we're in the DMV. And it's crazy because as the weather is terrible outside of the DMV, and I guess this is specific to the Nats as well, Pittsburgh was cold. Miami, the energy wasn't up for that group. You could just tell watching them play. And now you're in Colorado where it's going to be cold as hell. Ironically enough, the weather here locally is, I guess you can call it, breaking. It's finally breaking. We got 70s all next week. Supposed to hit 79, 80 today. The only thing missing is there's no sunshine. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. See, if I did want to do sports radio, I'd have a hell of a career in doing something with his voice, something with his throat. Sound pretty good, didn't I?
I like that song, too.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Bill Withers, right?
Ain't no sunshine when the Nats are away. Nats back at home. Coming up at the beginning of next week, if I'm not mistaken, they'll start a three-game set against the Baltimore Orioles. And then, as I'm actively pulling up the schedule, I know they got Baltimore early next week. And then they,
They're like home all next
Guess
week.
Guess who comes
much.
To town late next week? Juan Soto. And I know, I said it yesterday as I was on with Toby, as we sat in for B. Mitch and Finley. I do a pretty good job, I would say, keeping my ears peeled around the country for all of the top stories. And every time I go on my Instagram feed, WFAN up in New York, one of their hosts are going Kanye crazy about how Juan Soto was done at the plate at this point. When you pay a guy, what was it, $750 million, $650 million, you expect more production. The people in New York, though, have lost their mind. It's been crazy to watch. You would think that, like, let me do the official percentages here. That I threw out a BS number a moment ago. There are, what, 162 baseball games in a season?
Yep.
The Nats later this afternoon are going to play game number 20. So, that would be what? 20 divided by 162? We're 12% into the season. We're 12% into this thing. See how quick that math was, by the way? Got the calculator app going over here. But I'm a pride of Montgomery County Public Schools, damn it. So, I'm going to be quick on my feet when it comes to math. But we're 12% into the season. And the folks in New York are going absolutely ludicrous. First and foremost, the Mets are 13-7. They're first in the NL East. Francisco Lindor hit a walk-off homer last night against St. Louis. So you got to be feeling good about yourself if you are the Mets. But I do know there is major concern amongst Mets media members about the way Juan Soto has performed at the plate to this point, hitting just 225. I'll be real with you. Ain't good enough. Now, in terms of, excuse me, I had a complete computer gaffe in here for a second, Chris. I don't know what the hell was going to happen. My screen went dark. I don't know if the wire went loose or what. But with Soto, I mean, you brought him in, I think, for what he can help you do in the postseason. Right? Like, am I looking at this thing the right way? Like, it's great if he comes out and is hitting bombs. By the way,
you pay a guy that much, though. You want to be selling jerseys. You want to be doing a lot of stuff, not just postseason.
Sure.
Like,
for sure. But at the end of the day, you're judged by championships, especially when you're making that type of cheese. Now,
the Yankees are. I don't know about the Mets.
Well, that's very, very true. Well, damn, still, Steve Cohen ain't. Look, his pockets ain't skinny now. To give up that much money to Juanito, and then to bring back Pete Alonso, who is actually crushing the ball right now. 21 ribbies, batting .348, 5 bombs. All is well in New York, but you wouldn't be able to tell if you turned on WFAN. Good God almighty. A lot more to get to. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take you up to 340 before we pass things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll get you warmed up for game number 20. Of the young baseball season for the Washington Nationals. They're back in action in Chile, Colorado. Mackenzie Gore going to be on the bump this afternoon. First pitch set for 4:10. When we get back, a lot more to get to. Caps, they begin their Stanley Cup run coming up Monday night. We're 5 days away from the NFL draft. The Wizards had some really good luck last night as the Grizzlies were able to advance to the postseason. And speaking of the NBA postseason, they begin today back-to-back quadruple headers. Starting at 1 p.m. Eastern time this afternoon. So make sure you keep it locked on the fan all afternoon long to hear me blabble about the NBA. When we come back, though, we'll keep things local. The Commanders in the red zone on this RFK deal. We'll give you the deets on that next. This is The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Still moving and grooving right along here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. You're tapped into the youngest in charge, Lynnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 3:40. Nats baseball coming your way at that point. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up with Nats on deck. First pitch set for 4:10 out in Chile, Colorado. And I'll say this, right? We opened up the show. We did a little... I wonder if this term will resonate with any of our listeners out there. I've caught myself on these TikTok binges, it feels like, at certain points throughout the day. When you're in a little bit of a lull, you're sitting down, you pop a squat for a second. Usually after I finish working out, you sit there and you're tired and you're feeling good about yourself. And you crack open TikTok, and the next thing you know, a half hour to pass by. But the reason I brought up TikTok, it felt like in the opening segment, Chris, I don't know if you're familiar with this term or not either. We had a DC sports mukbang to start the show. We touched on a little bit of everything. Now, a mukbang, obviously, I hope your mind is not going to the gutter when I talk about a mukbang. A mukbang is like a assortment of food being eaten at the same time. It's a big back activity. That's what I will say.
Like a plethora?
Plethora. Mukbang, plethora. A plethora can be used in...
A virtual cornucopia of sports
talk. Cornucopia. There we go. Touched on a lot in that opening segment, including the Nats and why we have a doubleheader going on tomorrow. Yesterday got snowed out. We'll see how the fellas are able to, you know, bear with the conditions here this afternoon in Colorado. It is snowing, and we'll see. We'll see, man. Mackenzie Gore on the bump. Hopefully they can turn it around because they did not look good on their previous two series against Miami and Pittsburgh. I mentioned before we hit the last break, we are in the red zone on this RFK deal. Now, it's crazy because my thought process with this has always been very, very honest and transparent with you all. I'm not like maybe a Metal Chris or someone that's in the older demographic that, you know, went to RFK with their parents and, you know, all they know is the RFK glory years. That's not me. It didn't really matter to me whether or not the team built its new stadium at the RFK campus. I just was geeked up for a new state-of-the-art stadium. Point blank. Now, what I have always continued to say is that, you know what, I really don't care where it is, but if it's going to be in D.C. the way you all are thirsty for it to be, and when I say thirsty, I'm talking about a tongue kissing your chin. Thirsty. Look, I'm going to say what y'all scared to say. Y'all were thirsty as hell for this thing to get back to RFK. Now, I was all on board for that under one circumstance. Josh Harris and the 21 limited partners that he has must foot at least 50 to 60% of the bill. 50 to 60%. That's all I was asking for. Well, according to the news we got from Mark Seagraves of NBC4, not only are they footing 50 to 60% of the bill, they're going to fork up $2.5 billion. I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing. And it's deep in a rap for me, man. And when I say it's deep in a rap, y'all know, y'all pick up what I'm putting down here. It's deeper than rap for me, and here's why. It's great, right? We're going to have a stadium, new stadium, potentially host WrestleMania, which, how did I get through the opening segment of the program? It didn't mention night one of WrestleMania tonight. Are you excited for WrestleMania, Chris?
I'm not really a wrestling fan.
That's tough. You would make a hell of a wrestler.
You know, a lot of metalheads are, too. There's a lot of crossover there.
A lot of the best entrance songs come from your metalhead family, man.
Sure, sure. And, like, you know, I followed some when I was a kid and stuff, but I just never really,
I get it. Well, tonight's the night, if you want to get back into it. Night one of WrestleMania tonight. Then we have night two tomorrow. Night two is really what everyone's worried or excited for. We have a chance to have WWE history, Metal Chris. John Cena going for the most championship. What's the word I'm searching for here? The most
belts?
Most championship belts ever, you know, in the history of the sport, quote unquote. So that's exciting. But I brought up wrestling for a reason. With the new Commander Stadium, you have the opportunity to host the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania, to host the Final Four in the NCAA Championship, to host, hell, maybe the college football playoff. You know, like the possibilities are endless. And my thing was, yeah, that's great, but what is it going to do for the community? What is the stadium project going to do for the community? It is a risk. Regardless, right? And I think as we were at the beginning of this process, the thought was that the city was going to have to fork out a lot more than's being reported. And I always maintained the thought process of like, hey, while I'm geeked up for the stadium too, while I want the stadium too, I don't know if it makes sense if DC is in the position financially to make that type of financial investment, knowing that there's no return on your investment guaranteed. Now, the impact, the benefit could be great, right? We know what Nats Park has done to revitalize the Navy Yard community and area. I think the new stadium at the RFK campus can have a similar impact. But I think when you ask the city to fork over a certain amount of money, it begins to look irresponsible. It begins to look like, man, what are the odds that they actually get the return on their investment? What are the odds that the community actually is revitalized and jobs are created and more money and opportunity is actually created? Well, when you're only forking out $500 million.
I mean, it happened here, though, where we're sitting.
It did happen here, but I'm saying, look, the fact that you're only giving up $500 million, a lot more likely for you to get a good return on your investment when you're not investing as much. There is way, way less financial risk associated with the new parameters that we're hearing around this stadium project. Now, I understand it's in the red zone. It's far from a done deal. We'll have Eric Flack of WUSA 9 join us coming up here next to give us the more detail on this thing. But I always continue to believe that, like, you know, love Josh Harris and what he's done for football. Love Josh Harris for putting good football people in charge who drafted Jaden Daniels. They're all getting the product right on the field. But he had a much bigger opportunity, in my opinion, and I think he's on the doorstep of seizing it. He's from the DMV, Bethesda native. DMV through and through, grew up rooting for this franchise. Yeah, it's great to have your legacy and impact felt as a sports owner. The opportunity, though, that I think exists right now for Josh Harris and their ownership group is not to be looked at as just good sports owners. They're going to be looked at as a steward for the community, a philanthropist, someone that helps get DC back on track. Because let's make no mistake about it. I love the DMV. I know we have some debate here on Sports Talk Radio as to who is actually considered a part of the DMV. But like I said, I love the DMV. And it makes my heart hurt seeing, you know, reading some of the news reports that come out of DC with budget cuts and, you know, taking away after-school programs for kids and defunding the police and defunding Metro. Yeah, I know I take the Metro thing personally now as a frequent, you know, rider of Metro. But to me, man, what Josh Harris is doing, what he has the opportunity to do, is not just make his mark as a sports owner, but make his mark as a steward of this community and one of the guys that'll never, ever be forgotten long after Jaden Daniels plays his final snap, long after Terry McLaurin calls it a career. We're going to still be talking about Josh Harris, not from a football standpoint, but what he was able to do for the DMV as a whole. So I think it's a special, special opportunity. I hope that this thing gets pushed through, and I can't wait to see the impact that it's going to have on the district. Navy Yard is beautiful. It's a great spot. Now, still riddled with crime. Still right across the street from one of the war zones of D.C., but the powers that be are doing what they can to help clean this community up. Putting the new Commander Stadium back at the old RFK site with minimal city investment, I think, is the first step to revitalizing D.C. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll hear from a professional on all of this stadium mumbo jumbo. About Eric Flack of WUSA 9 joins us next here on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here on The Fan, we'll take you up to 340. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler, they'll get you warmed up for Chili Nats baseball out in Colorado. The fellas taking on the Rockies game number 20 of the young baseball season. You can hear all 162 right here on The Fan. We'll get into the Nationals a little bit more as we continue to look ahead coming up here in the 2 o'clock hour. Right now, though, want to continue our conversation on the Commanders and D.C. being in quote-unquote the red zone when it comes to this RFK deal. Right now, we'll go out to the Rude guest hotline where we find our pal Eric Flack of WUSA 9. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Eric Flack TV. Eric, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
What's up, Linnell? Happy Saturday to you.
Happy Saturday to you too, my friend. I saw you were active yesterday. So is your daughter going to be a bison coming up next fall?
She is probably going to consider all options.
I was actually there.
No breaking news here. I was actually there shooting another story just about all the amazing stuff that was going on, that is going on at Howard. And I happened to be on the yard for Admitted Students Day on a Friday on a beautiful 75-degree day. So it was a vibe. I had a tough time leaving. It was popping on the yard at Howard about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Eric, it's always popping on the yard, Eric.
It is always. That's better said. It was especially popping yesterday.
For sure. I got the chance to be the play-by-play voice for their football program this past year, so I got a lot closer to the university than I ever had been. Just a great place with outstanding people. So I hope you were able to enjoy your time yesterday. We brought you on, though, man, for your insider information on what is going down in the latest with the Commanders and D.C.'s pursuit to get their new stadium at that old RFK campus. Can you give us the latest?
Yeah, I mean, sources are telling us that the city and the Commanders have never been closer to an agreement that would, in principle, bring the Commanders back to RFK with a new stadium on the RFK site. Now, I'm sure we'll get into this in a second. This would be an agreement that the mayor has struck with the Commanders, but not one that would be official because it would have to ultimately be approved by DC Council and DC Council Chair Phil Mendelson. Although the details, again, the agreement not finalized, the details, the numbers not officially made public, but DC Council Chair Phil Mendelson saying late in the week that the taxpayer portion of that agreement would be $856 million. I'm told that money would be going for infrastructure around the new stadium, and it would be up to Josh Harris and the Commanders to actually build the building itself. So that's going to be more money by two-thirds than the city gave to Ted Leonsis for renovations at Capital One, but it is going to be shy of $1 billion, which is kind of a number that has been given by other municipalities for their football stadiums. Council Chair Mendelson claims it would be the third biggest public stadium subsidy in history. Based on my reporting, that sounds a bit right. We'll wait to get the numbers officially before we can say that for sure. But apparently things getting very, very close between the city and the Commanders to having an agreement in principle between the mayor and the Commanders for a new RFK Stadium, RFK 2.0.
I think, Eric, it is all fascinating. I've long said, and I think when me and you first began to discuss this, my only pushback to it being at the old RFK campus was, wow, is the city of D.C. really in position financially to fork out that type of money to take that sort of financial risk? Now that Josh Harris and his 21 limited partners are willing to fork up what is close to $2.6 billion, how does it change the way you look at this whole thing, Eric, being someone that's that knows this area very well and knows some of the economic shortcomings that the district is dealing with?
I mean, people are still upset and mad. I mean, Josh Harris and his partners can be, because, I mean, they can be paying whatever they want to pay, $2.5 billion or whatever it's reported to be. And certainly that is a huge investment from the Harris side. And it should not be undersold, and it shouldn't be undervalued what they're willing to put in. But again, they're going to reap plenty of benefits and rewards from that investment. You're still talking about $750 million in taxpayer money that's going to come at a time when DC is facing critical budget shortfalls. And keep in mind, I mean, the Congress has has currently, as it stands now, asked DC to cut its budget by $1 billion. Now, the understanding is that there is legislation to kind of patch that back up to where that those cuts wouldn't be nearly as drastic. But as of now, that legislation has not passed. And so DC is, in fact, in a position where it is having to freeze position and cut back spending in the immediate term until Congress comes back in session and that legislation is ultimately passed. Now, we do expect the legislation to be passed. I mean, President Trump has signaled his support for it. So usually what President Trump supports flies on Capitol Hill. And, you know, I think that that's good news for DC in this particular instance, which is why you know, the city has continued to negotiate with the team as seriously as it has. I don't think they wanted this news to come out this early. Mm-hmm. I've also been told that, you know, some of the numbers that have been reported are not official and have not been ultimately agreed to. Okay. Certainly they are close to where we're going to end up. But, you know, when you have council member Mendelson putting that $856 million figure out there, you certainly know that that's pretty close to what we're looking at. And so, you know, getting back to, you know, has it changed the conversation? I mean, certainly people are happy to hear that, you know, Josh Harris is willing to invest like this in the city and in this stadium. But it doesn't change the fact that D.C. government is going to have to come up with a huge amount of money at a time when it does not have a ton of cash just sitting around.
Yeah, still a lot to sort through as we're joined by Eric Flack of WSA9, giving us the latest on what is next between the Commanders and the city of D.C. as they try to strike a deal to get the new Commander Stadium back at that old RFK campus. Is Maryland and Virginia involved in this at all, Eric? It feels like I thought initially when, you know, the news was broke when Josh and company first took over that there was going to be some bidding war between all three jurisdictions. Right now, it seems like the conversations have been limited to just the district. Where does Maryland and Virginia still stand in all of this?
I mean, in theory, I think Josh Harris and the Commanders would have liked the bidding war because that is good for their bottom line. I think Virginia really never could get its act together because, you know, we saw what happened with Ted Leonsis and the plans to build that arena out in Northern Virginia. It just did not have the support of the state legislature. Now, you could in Virginia, you could, you know, argue that that was a botched, you know, rollout that kind of, you know, doomed that plan from the beginning. And Josh Harris and his team, you know, I've been told, you know, made it clear that, you know, internally that they were not going to make the same mistakes that Leonsis did by, you know, having such a clumsy rollout without support. So, you know, I think in retrospect, Virginia was never really seriously in the game because there was no pass to getting any sort of taxpayer allocation. Maryland certainly was. But it became clear that the preference, and Josh Harris has said as much, the preference in a perfect world is for the Commanders to build the new stadium back in D.C. Josh Harris, being a D.C. guy, went to RFK like so many of us did. Of my age, I remember going there with my dad. Josh Harris has the same memories. And, you know, he called RFK the spiritual home. Even Commanders fans in Maryland and Virginia, for the most part, agreed that of all the, you know, this one thing that I think, you know, at this time of strife, everybody agreed on was the Commanders needed to be back in D.C. at the RFK site. So that was always the preference. It was just a question of how they were going to do it. And you know, they had a very, very willing negotiating partner in Mayor Bowser, who basically on her inauguration day said this was one of her ultimate goals. I talked to somebody close to Mayor Bowser just this week who told me, you know, this is the biggest thing of,
you know, achievement of her, you know, administration,
which
is she's now in her third term.
Right.
And this is going to be her crowning achievement. You know, I mean, I think she envisions that when her name goes down in the history books, she will be seen as the mayor, among other things, who brought the Commanders back to D.C. and ultimately brought a Super Bowl to D.C. and, you know, brings Taylor Swift back to D.C. and all the things. I think that, you know, in theory, Maryland really was it in, and Governor Moore certainly made it clear that he wanted to keep the Commanders in Maryland. But, you know, as Maryland's governor, he kind of had to make an effort. And you know, I think deep down, all sides knew this was the first option. And it looks like they're getting pretty close to this option, at least reaching the next stage, which is an announced agreement between the mayor's office and the Commanders.
Eric, I'll let you go on this, my friend. What do you say to the taxpayer that's still upset about how much D.C. is going to fork out?
Well, all transparency aside, I'm from D.C. I went to RFK. I'm a Commanders fan, so it's hard for me to not have emotion involved in this when I'm talking about what I'd like to see just as a person. So let me say that, you know, if I'm arguing from the perspective of somebody who supports D.C. spending all this money. And you don't have to make it about Eric Flack. You can make it about Mayor Bowser. You can make it about Kenny McDuffie, who's chair of the city council on economy, the committee on economic development. D.C. needs downtown development right now. The pandemic crushed D.C.'s downtown economy. The office buildings are empty. That business is never coming back. The workforce is now taking another hit because of the reshaping of the federal workforce under Donald Trump and Elon Musk. There is a desperate need for an economic infusion in Washington, D.C. right now. And this is a path, although not a guaranteed path, because we're going to argue about how many football games there are in a year and how many events there are and what that really translates to. But those who support that would say that this is a path to economic development downtown. Clearly, there's a need for housing and affordable housing and all those things. And, you know, there will be some of that as a part of this development. The people who are behind this know that they're going to have some aspect of that to satisfy those who rightly say D.C. needs more affordable housing. But D.C. also needs an infusion of cash, and there's just no way around that. And this is a large-scale economic development, and those who support it would point to things like National Park, Audi Field, Navy Yard, and look at where that was, you know, when I was growing up 15 years ago when the stadium was first built and what it looks like today. And they would say that's an example of what the RFK area will look like 5, 10, 15 years from now, a bustling economic hub at a time when D.C. Needs an economic infusion very, very badly.
For sure. Well put, my friend. I appreciate you giving us some time. As always, my man, enjoy the weekend, Eric.
All right, you too, my man. Talk to you soon.
That is Bye. The absolute best, talking all things stadium when it comes to the Washington Commanders and the relationship between them and the city. Eric Flack of WUSA9. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at Eric Flack TV. Every time I talk to Eric, I feel like I gain new perspective on this entire situation. That's why we bring him on. Hope you all gain new perspective as well. This is tough. It's tough because there's so many layers to all of this. Money is obviously the big hurdle here. But it seems like, according to Eric Flack, according to Mark Seagraves, we're in the red zone. 1-800-636-1067. What do you make of the news that D.C. and the Commanders are in the red zone, so to speak, when it comes to bringing that new Commander Stadium back to that old RFK campus? We'll take your calls on that at 1-800-636-1067. Plus, when we come back, Josh Harris and company forking out big-time cash for this stadium project. Where does Josh Harris rank amongst the D.C. sports owners? We'll chew on that next here on The Fan. First hour of the show almost in the books here on The Fan. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 340. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will get you warmed up for Nats baseball at that time. 410 first pitch. You can hear the action right here on The Fan. Nats in Colorado, chilly Colorado, taking on the Rockies. Right now we go out to the phones. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We just heard from Eric Flack of WSA 9 giving us the latest on the stadium deal between the Commanders and the city of D.C. Right now, according to multiple different reports, Flack says it's as close as it's ever been. Mark Seagraves of NBC4 describing it as in the red zone. For you as a fan, how important is it for this deal to ultimately get done? And then when you look at Josh Harris and how much money he is willing to fork over, how much money he and this Commanders ownership group is willing to fork over, does it make you view him any differently as an owner? I continue to say his legacy here, if he gets this done and if they pay for a majority of it like they are alluding to, his legacy here in D.C. is going to be felt long after Jayden Daniels retires, long after Terry McLaurin retires. He will be a fixture here forever. What does that mean to you? 1-800-636-1067. Tom is in D.C. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my time.
Yeah, appreciate you.
I'm a D.C. resident, and the biggest concern I have with this is a lot of people don't realize how much this deal will thwart our efforts for D.C. residents. And I'm saying that in the sense that there's only so much capital money in the D.C. government budget. We just paid for a hospital. We just paid for a lot of other things. It will cut back the, you know, D.C. government's ability to fund new police stations, new fire stations, new rec centers. And the biggest problem I have with a funding of a football stadium is that you got 12 to 15 events a year. And that, you know, in terms of the best in public use and how it generates money and how it generates jobs, you know, a football stadium has never proven to be an economic development source or center.
I hear what you're saying. I want to ask you a question that I want you to respond to. If you don't feel that way, what do you consider what happened in Navy Yard?
I mean, Navy Yard, it was a lot. To be clear, we paid for the infrastructure, roadway, and for a Pepco upgrade, which facilitated a stadium. But if you look at the total cost, it was almost, I think, between $30 and $40 million. So I sniff at $30 or $40 million. A $30, $40 million investment by D.C. government for the D.C. United Stadium was appropriate, and it didn't stop funding for other major initiatives for police, for fire, for parks and rec, where an $850 million investment is considerably different, and it will stop the funding of construction of new schools.
Tom, we appreciate you, Clark. Yeah. I'll let you go. The one thing I would say to that, Tom, is I agree with you. In the short term, all of that is true, but I don't think it will take long for the city to get its return on its investment, especially if the football product continues to go in the direction that it's going. And if you're able to land a Final Four, a WrestleMania, a Super Bowl, that one event in itself may bring all that money back to the district. So appreciate.
I
hope so too, Tom. Appreciate you as always, my man. Enjoy the weekend. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll continue to take your calls. How do you feel that the Commanders in the city of D.C. are in the red zone when it comes to the new RFK Stadium deal? And how do you view Josh Harris as an owner compared to the other D.C. sports owners? Your calls next. They're on The Fan.